A businessman in Dallas, Texas paid the whole bill. Can somebody shout amen? Called Premier Jewelers or Premier Jewelers. I don't know their real name. They make jewelry. It's changing children's lives. Esther and I have been involved in that. But I want to talk about our fellowship, our fellowship. Angola was the bloodiest prison in America until 1995, and it was then, but it started turning around when our warden came, instituted, some of you all heard this in time past, the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and now we've graduated 270 inmates with Bachelor of Science degrees, fully accredited, transferable to everywhere, including the University of Virginia and Virginia Tech. Come on. We have 270 graduates of the college, and we have 28 churches pastored by inmates. That church, that prison has changed to the safest prison in America. And the other day, the warden came to me and said, I want an Assembly of God church in this prison. They know I'm Assemblies of God. I don't make a big deal of it. I don't push it. I don't talk about it. But he knows, and he understands. And I chose one of the churches that preach the way we do and believe the way we do. And I went to our district superintendent and said, we want to start a church. And he called Springfield, our headquarters, and they said, we will license and credential an inmate. I thought, that's a miracle. Come on. To be a pastor. If we're going to have a pastor, we've got to have a pastor. If we have a pastor, he needs credentials. And they agreed to credential him. And so everything went fine, and we started the superintendent came, and one of our pastors called Packy Thompson made it a campus of his church, and so it was flourishing and still is flourishing. But something happened. That pastor got paroled. Miracle. He got paroled. But he had another man standing in the wings that was his associate, and we installed him as pastor. I took the superintendent out there one day with me. We sat on the front row of the church, and he preached on the woman with the cruse of oil and Elijah. And that superintendent sat there and looked at him, and I looked at him. I thought, this man can preach the proverbial house down. He looked at me later and said, he can preach better than most of our church preachers that are outside. Everything was going fine. We're going to credential both of them. And I got some bad news just a couple of days ago that Springfield had decided that we cannot credential a felon after we didn't promise this man this out. And I had to call him today and tell him that we couldn't credential him, and he got very discouraged. But I want to say this. We got a great superintendent. I got on the phone with him, and I've been on the phone most of the day with him, and he's called Springfield, and we're going to protest. Come on. Come on. Give it the Lord a hand. We're going to protest. Pastor, we're going to protest. Come on, if the Apostle Paul can be ordained, he can be ordained. Come on. I'm going to fight with him a little bit. Is that all right? And it's my pond. I can croak in if I want to. Come on. Y'all pray with me. He'll get credentialed. It's important to him. After a man's gone through all that, he's been 19 years in prison, been told no, and because he's put down, and now he's been put down again. But I believe God's going to help us through this thing. Anybody want to pray with me about that? Come on, put your hands together as a show of solidarity. Let me say one other thing, and I'm not going to take too much time. A Baptist chaplain tried to get some of our men who had their bachelor's degrees, their master's degrees, and the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary would not continue to give them a master's program. Where's Catherine, Miss Teacher? Would not give them a master's program. So he got searching around, and he found Global University of the Assemblies of God. I looked at him, I said, you know, we're Pentecostal. He said, I know who you are. This young man named Alex Hennis has got two master's degrees from Global University, fully accredited, in prison. And the president, help me the president's name. Dr. Severs came all the way from Springfield on both occasions to the prison, full of cap and gown, full everything, brought administration with him, and we had a full service, played Pomp and Circumstance, or whatever that song is. And gave him his master's degrees. And now, I talked to him just last week. He is just his dissertation away from becoming Dr. Ennis. Dr. Alex Ennis. He's getting his doctorate, full accredited doctorate. First one to ever get this kind of degrees in prison. Can you give the Lord praise for that? But the best thing about that is, Dr. Seaver said to him, we're going to give you this full scholarship. It don't cost you anything. I am happy about that. So our fellowship is doing really well. I want to give you that report. And I'm going to say before Esther comes how much we've enjoyed being here. And she's going to tell you how she feels, and then I'm going to preach a little message. But we have been honored to be here again for the umpteenth time. I don't know how many times we've been here. We've got to count it. I don't think we can count it. It's been 15 years. But you folks are past brothers and sisters. You're my friends, and I love you. Appreciate you, and thank you for the offering. Thank you for everything. Now, Esther's going to speak a little bit, then I'm going to speak a little bit, and we're going to pray together. Amen? Won't you welcome Esther tonight? What are you doing?
We serve a great, big, wonderful God. I'm telling you, every time I turn around, I just see something else that God has done. And no man can take credit for so many things, and yet they don't recognize the fact that it was God that has done it. But I want to encourage each one of you tonight that we are the example for the world. Many people do not read their Bible, but they read our lives. And so we not only have to be an example in our homes, but we have to be examples everywhere we go. And so we need to realize how great our God is, because he goes before us every step of the way. And so I would like to kind of tune into our young people tonight. You folks can listen, and maybe you'll like what I say, but if you don't, I'll pray for you. And so anyway, as parents, you know, we have 3 sons, 6 grandchildren, and now 8 great-grandchildren. And God has blessed us. All but 3 of our grandchildren are serving the Lord and faithful to God. We just put them on the altar, so to speak, and pray for them. And as we are an example in our homes, that's one thing that's going to help our young people to come forth and to be an example. And if you don't have an example in your own home, then you look to a Christian who is a good example for your life, and pray and let God lead you in the direction that he wants you to go. You know, as you date, you need to date Christians. Don't get out into the world. The Bible talks about not being unequally yoked. And so be with a Christian and date someone that you can be proud of. And, you know, whenever you are dating someone, you need to look at their lives, and you need to realize how they treat their parents and their family, because after you're married to them, if you marry them, they will treat you the same way. And so don't think that you're going to marry someone to change them. You're not. And so whenever you marry them, accept them as they are. And so, you know, the rules and regulations in your home is not to make a nerd of you. It's to give you a type of relationship with people and to be able to learn to do the things that's important in your life. If we didn't have traffic lights out there, we would really have a mess driving, wouldn't we? And stop signs. And that's what it is in your homes. You need to stop and listen and to know that what you're being told is to help you to be a good example and to learn things that's important in your life. And so, you know, so many of you want to be treated like an adult when you're only 14, 15, and 16. You want the parents to turn their keys to their car over to you, but they need to see the fact that you are responsible enough to have those keys. If they can't trust you with their trash can at home to empty it out when it's supposed to be emptied, or to clean your room, or to do the things that you're supposed to do, then how can they trust you with the keys to their car? You know, it's not easy to put responsibility on someone and see them not do it and think that they are responsible enough to be on their own and to do the things that they know they're supposed to do. And so we need to look at the way that we do things to realize how much we deserve to have the trust put within us. And so, you know, you don't need to be reminded, because that's the time that the parents can see that you are responsible, that you will do what you're supposed to do, and that you will do what you say you'll do. And, you know, so much of the world thinks that sin is not sin anymore. They go their way, they do the things that the Bible speaks against, and even the laws of the land has changed. But I'm telling you one thing, the laws of God has not changed. And so you need to look at the Bible and let the Bible be your example and the way that you pattern your life. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. That's why so many of our young people at the age of 18 and 19 now is in prison, because they would not listen. And they would not do what they were asked to do. And they thought that they could just go out and do as they pleased, and they got in deep trouble. You know, so leave the drugs alone, leave the alcohol alone, and let God be victorious in you. So you are a wonderful group of young people, and only God is the only thing that's going to keep you and going to give you the things in life that you deserve if you'll follow Him. And so, look to Him through all things. And I would like to say how much we do appreciate being with you folks. You folks are always so kind to us, and we love you, and we appreciate you. And you know, when we're away, we pray for you, and we ask you pray for us. You know, I won't go into a lot of details, because all of you have seen it, but our city right now is in dire need of their homes cleaned out and things done because of all the flooding. So keep us in your prayers. And just know that we love you more than words could ever say. And we know that God is here. And we appreciate so much what you do for us. Thank you. God bless you.
Would you mind standing tonight for a moment? To honor God's word. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately, somebody help me, desperately wicked, and who can know it? That's the condition of man. But then Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Allow me tonight for a few minutes to speak to you on something maybe I've talked about before, but not in depth as I will tonight. There's a hole in your soul. There is a hole in your soul that only God can make full if you want to live victorious. Amen? Father, help us tonight to preach the word in Jesus' name. And everybody shout amen. Amen. You may be seated. The most famous verse in the Bible is John 3. What? 16. That chapter contains some other words. Jesus is talking to a man by the name of Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews who came by night. Before he said all of this, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus was confused. Do I have to enter the second time my mother's womb and be born like I was naturally? And Jesus said, you should know better than this. You're a leader and you should know the book. He said, you should be born again of the water and the Spirit. The water and the Spirit. What does that mean? I want to try to help you understand it tonight a little better. What does water mean? Water is used in the Bible for purification, purifying, cleansing. If you're going to be born again, we've got to be cleansed. Can somebody shout amen? And we sing about it tonight. Nothing but the what? Jesus could have said, you must be born of the blood and the spirit. But he used water as a type. You must be born again of the blood of Jesus. That's type of the water. It's type of that cleanses us. And then you must be born of the spirit, which means he's got to come and live inside of you. We preach this week. He was with them. Now he's in them. After Jesus rose from the dead. And Nicodemus is saying to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Why do we have to be born again? Why can't we live like we live and go to heaven? Because we have a sin nature. Do we not? Who gave that to us? Our parents. That's who brought us in the world. But it wasn't our immediate parents. Mine was Edna and James Earl. Esther's was Asa and Mabel. They were their parents, but it goes far back. You can name your parents. But it wasn't your parents' fault totally. It wasn't even their fault. Whose fault is it? Come on, tell me. Your parents were Adam. What was your mother's name? Eve. We are born with their nature. It's in us. And Jeremiah, I read to you tonight. What did Jeremiah say? Our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our heart is desperately wicked. Now, let me clarify something before we get confused about this business of our nature. When we are born, we are not born as a sinner. We have a sin nature. Children are not sinners. You know why I say that? Because no sinner shall inherit the kingdom of God. A child will go to heaven. Can you shout amen with that tonight? A baby can go to heaven. This country has aborted I don't know how many thousands of babies, but when we get to heaven, they're all going to be there. Come on, shout amen, somebody. Put your hands together if you believe that tonight. They're going to be there. Somebody's going to be responsible for them not being able to live. But children are not accountable. Children are not accountable. Children have a nature, but they have a nature, but they're not held accountable for it because they don't know right from wrong or have the ability to discern right from wrong. How many parents we got here tonight? Hold your hand if you have parents. How many parents we have tonight? So you have children. Have you ever heard parents say, my child would never lie? Why'd y'all laugh? Why? Why? Why'd you laugh? Because children will lie. Adults will too. But children are held responsible. Come on. We got an associate pastor. His name is Terry Olivier. Another one of those English names, Olivier. Come on. That's a French name. He took his kids the other day to Disney World. And they was rolling around in a stroller. When I'm in a stroller, they got outside the store in Disney World and looked. And the kids had loaded up the stroller with stuff out of the store. They were off doing something else. And them kids... Pastor, this kid used a 5-figure discount. Come on. Somebody said, he said, boy, we had to march back in there to put it back on the shelf and tell these kids, you can't do this. They didn't know. Did they? They're just kids, babies. We're not held accountable. We're not held accountable. I'll tell you why I believe this with all my heart, and I can prove it. Jesus said, except you become as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. He was talking about children. So children are not held responsible. They have accountability. I don't know what age accountability is. I don't think there's an age you can put on it. Somebody says 12 years old because when Jesus was 12. I think when you, it's different with different children. I can't make a doctor. I'm not smart enough to know this. All I know is you come to a point in your life sometime, young people, when you know right from wrong, and that's when you need Jesus to come into your life. You must be born again. You must be changed. We are a triune creature. Trinity. Three. Body, spirit, and soul. Our body is this flesh that we walk around in and we live in. And it's going to pass away someday. It's going to go back to the dust from which it came if the rapture's delayed. If not, if we that are alive will remain, will be changed. It'll be dissolved. But I hasten to say to you, if you don't accept Christ, you don't die in Christ, your body's going to live eternally. Everybody has eternal life, but it's going to have a different body, a body that will last forever. But the second resurrection will be those who died not in Christ, but will stand before the judgment, the white throne judgment, and be cast into hell forever. So our bodies are going to pass away. But we have two other components of our existence. One of them is our spirit. It is eternal. Come on, shout somebody. It's going to last forever. Our spirit is our intellect, our mind, our decision-making process. We have a spirit. And then this is what I want to talk about tonight, the third part of our triune being, and that is our soul. It's the root of our affections. It is the root of our desires, of our passions, of our appetites, of our feelings. Listen to me. We are not animals. I don't care what your biology teacher taught you, you did not descend from a monkey. I had a biology teacher that taught that, and I thought he may have, but I didn't. Come on. Then when I looked up in the church, I was having revival, and he was sitting in the audience. George Smith. No, Hope. I get George's mixed up. Some of my ancestors, none of my ancestors, I've said this before, and I have to say it. I like to hear myself say it. My ancestors did not hang from a tree by their tail. Some of mine hung from a tree by their neck. Some of y'all didn't get that. Young people, y'all get that? Mean they got hung because they were criminals. My ancestors didn't hang from a tree by their tail. My ancestors are not animals. Come on, ladies and gentlemen and young people. We were created in the image of God. We are creatures. Did I not read to you in 2 Corinthians there would be new creatures in Christ Jesus? I know animals are creatures, but we are a different creature. All the animals and all the creation was created before on 5 days, but on the sixth day he made man. And then he made woman. And when Adam saw that woman, he said, wow. But we're different. And we're different because we are creating God's image. Now, I want you to understand this. But when Adam and Eve fell in the garden and they ate of that tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, they brought sin into the world. And since that time, we all have a sin nature. We inherit, it's inherited, it's part of us. It comes through the bloodline. There's only one person that was ever born that did not have a sin nature because he did not have Adam's bloodline. Can you shout his name for me tonight? Come on. Who is he? Jesus. He didn't have the nature we have. We all have it. But we are not animals. We're creating God's image. So he said, he created us. And now we talk about a soul. And a spirit and a body. But our soul is our heart. Many times when you read in the Bible, heart, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's our soul he's talking about. It's our soul he's talking about. In Romans 10, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus, it's more than just an assent with our head. When you accept Jesus, he comes to live in your heart, but he comes to live in you inside of you. Jesus said on one occasion that he stood at Jerusalem, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Out of his For out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He was talking about our hearts. You fill us. Always there's a war going on between the soul and the flesh. Come on, you will fight this as long as you live. You'll deal with it as long as you live. If you reach a point you think you're not dealing with it, then you're mistaken. I never will forget Pastor Dick. Several years ago, we were pastoring in Miami. A young man come down to build a church. Handsome young sandy blonde headed guy. And he stood in our pulpit and said, I've reached the point, I'm no longer tempted. I thought, oh Lord, he's dead and he's standing there. Maybe I better go get him and lay him down on the platform and close his eyes and cross his arms and call Lo Hank's funeral home. Because I'm good friends with him because I bury a lot of people with that funeral home. He said, I've reached a point I'm not tempted anymore. Guess what? I was a presbyter of that section in Miami. And about 3 months later, he was in my office. Guess what he's in my office for? He was in my office from being tempted. But with the sad part about it, he was not just in there for being tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. Come on. What's the sin? When you yield to temptation. He'd yielded. So we are going to fight this battle. As long as we're in this flesh. As long as we're in this flesh. Now, we're going. So we've got to fight this battle. And how do we fight this battle? How do we fight this battle with our desires? Our appetites, our passions, our desires. Listen to me, young people. Listen, please. You're facing it now. You're going to face it in the future. Mom and Dad, you're facing it now. You're going to face it in the future. How do you overcome? How do you become overcomers? How do you supersede this? How do you live above this? I work in Angola State Penitentiary. I've talked about that every time I've come here just about. Been there 10 years. After 5 years, 10 years ago, I started there. 6,300 men. The bloodiest prison in America, I told you. And now it's the safest prison in America because Jesus showed up. Come on. Your government, my government, state, federal, everybody involved says the way to solve people's problems that have to go to the penitentiary is education. Or pour money in it and train them. Let me get down where you live. I talk to these men, and I ask them this question. Why are most of you here? Why are most of you in this penitentiary? I did my own survey, not scientific. Why are most of you in this penitentiary? You've committed crimes. You've murdered. You've raped. You've stolen. You've done terrible things. Why are you here? Most of the things I did under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Are you aware we have a drug problem in America? Do you realize there's an epidemic in America? Young people, are you realize there's an epidemic in America? And I deal with a lot of the drug situations in our church. And it's no longer heroin or marijuana. It's prescription drugs. People are hooked on prescription drugs, and they get attached to them. My son has a man who rents from him one of his warehouses, and he goes from doctor to doctor to doctor, find another doctor, give him another, and now they've probably just tightened down on that some. But he's totally hooked, and he's totally, totally dependent. And these men, I have one man, he's a precious pastor of ours. He killed his girlfriend. He don't even remember killing his girlfriend. You say he's lying. I don't believe he's lying. Because that alcohol had taken over him and influenced him to that point. And so what I'm trying to say, there's a hole in your soul that only God can fill. And when you don't have God fill it, you try to fill it with somebody else. You try to fill it with something else. Why do people drink? Why do people get on drugs? Why do people do other things? Why do people get hooked on pornography? Why do people get hooked on money? Why do people get hooked on fame and fortune? Because they're trying to satisfy that heart of theirs. They're trying to satisfy the heart inside of them. That God created this. Our warden said to us one day, in fact, he did it on film. He said that they said education would change this prison. And we have men who go to prison and they educate them, get their GED. Some of them get their training, get their craftsmen, and they go out and they turn around and they come right back. He said, you know what education will do to a prisoner? Make an educated thief out of him. It won't change him. What's changed is Jesus came in that prison and Jesus come to start living their souls. Come on. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Jesus started living in their soul. Young people, I know you don't think I'm telling you the truth. You think I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm an old man. I'm not young anymore. I know. Pastor read this scripture the other day. I once was young, but now I'm old. I felt like he was talking to me. I've been young too, but now I'm old. And I hope you'll take my word for it. Nothing you put in that void in your heart will satisfy you. You'll never get enough. Listen to me. Jesus said to a woman at a well one day when he asked for a drink of water. He said, please give me some water out of Jacob's well. And she said, why should you ask me? I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. He said, if you'd have asked me, I'd give you water and you never thirsted again. Are y'all with me? She said, give me that water. She thought he was talking about H2O. No, he was talking about that hole in her soul that he was going to fill that day. Come on, shout amen, somebody. He's going to fill that day, and he filled it. So he filled. Education, money, fame will not do it. We need to fill our hearts with Jesus. When someone comes to my office and they want to go to Teen Challenge, and by the way, Teen Challenge has an 87% success rate. The government has less than a 10% success rate. More times, about two. It's because they're using that method, and David Wilkerson started in 1958 using another method, and that's to put Jesus in there. Come on. Come on, give the Lord praise for Teen Challenge again tonight. I tell people, Pastor, when they come to my office and they want to go to Teen Challenge, I can pick up the phone, and I'm in good relationship with Greg Dill, our president. He opens up beds for us when there's no beds. I look at those people and I say, you walked into this. You're going to have to walk out. It's going to take time. You need to be healed. Now, sometimes they get instant healing. And this happened in Teen Challenge all through the history of time. Sometimes they get filled with the Holy Ghost and they never want another drug. Come on. That's a miracle. But most of the time, it's a time. It's a healing. See, healing takes time. When you have surgery, it takes time to get over the surgery. It's a healing process. But the healing comes when you keep Jesus in your soul. So you keep Jesus in your soul. So here's what Paul said to the church. You got to keep him moving. You got to walk in the Spirit. You got to walk in the Spirit. Now let me close this message. I want you to open your Bibles. If you have Bibles, I'm going to read something that I've been confused about all my days as far as I read this Bible. I've had trouble with this, Pastor. But I think I found a secret. 7th chapter of the book of Romans. I'm going to read a little bit. Is that all right? I'm going to read a little bit from the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. Here's what it says. Listen to Paul's writings. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, which is good, I find not. The will, my own choice. I make a choice. My will. No good thing. For the good that I would, I do not. For the evil which I would not, what do you do? I keep doing it. And now I do that which I would not. It is no more I but that to do it, but it's sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that is when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God with the inward man. Let me pause here and say something. Can I? This man writing this is the greatest example for Christ the church ever produced. I didn't say greater than Jesus. The church didn't produce Jesus. This is a Baptist preacher said this, and I agree with him. There's nobody can supersede this man's walk with God. And he's confessing some things. Come on. If he's having trouble, we're having trouble. Come on. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He said, the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bring me into captivity. For the law of sin which is in my members, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This is where people get so confused. God says, what's he talking about? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord that when with my mind I serve the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin. I've tried to make it with my mind. I tried to talk about it. I tried to decide. I tried to make a choice, but I keep falling. Now, that's the last verse of chapter 7. But let me point out to you, this letter he wrote to the Corinthians was not divided by chapters or verses, or to the Romans. It was not divided by chapters or verses. It was one letter. Later centuries, or hundreds of years later, they divided this Bible. Forget about that big eight and that one there. Just because it's not there in his original writing. Listen to him. But with the flesh I serve the law of sin. Therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free of the law of sin and death. Somebody ought to shout amen. Amen. Give him a hand of praise. What is he saying? When I let Jesus into my soul, when I let Jesus into that place in my heart, I'm an overcomer. He wrote to the Galatians this, and I close. I have to go to the piano, please. You walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can't walk in it by yourself. How many drug addicts have come to my office and said, I don't need Teen Challenge. I don't need your help. I can do it myself. I'm not addicted. They've been on drugs for 25 years, but they're not addicted. I looked at them. I said, how long have you been on drugs? Well, they say 5 years, 6 years. I said, you hadn't done it by now. You think you can change now? But I'm trying to tell you, you got to have help. You don't need secular help. You don't need counseling help. You'll need some counseling. You'll need some help. But what you need is the Spirit of Christ come to live in that soul. If you're born again of the water and the Spirit. See, Jesus left the Spirit here for a reason, to enable us. I'm not above it. I could fail. I could fail tomorrow. I could fail tomorrow. By the grace of God, I won't fail tomorrow because I'm going to keep walking with him. You could fail tomorrow. You could fail tonight. But you don't have to. You just need to keep the Spirit in your heart. And that's what we preach as full gospel Pentecostal people. Be not drunk with wine. It'll take over your life, but be filled with the Spirit. Be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout amen. Young people, let me talk to you out of my heart. Don't get deceived by the devil and by the school and by your friends and by others that says you can flirt with the devil. You can flirt with this. You can try this and it'll be all right. You don't need to go that route. You need to stay with Jesus and let him fill that hole in your soul, because you're not an animal. You're a creature of God, and he created you for himself. He created that void in you for himself, and nobody else can satisfy that but him. Would you stand with me tonight?